I told him when he left, I said, check In-N-Out Burger out in California. So he sent me a picture yesterday of In-N-Out Burger. They were just, he said, stop for lunch, and he sent me a picture of In-N-Out Burger, and all I could see is the palm trees and the blue sky in the background. So that was really good. All right, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm just teasing. No, we're not going to do that. I thought about reading a verse out of there, but I don't think I'll do that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. It is good to be here tonight. And we'll be here just for a few moments tonight and looking in the Word of God. And I am excited to bring what God has laid upon my heart and to deliver it to you. It's pretty basic, but it's something that God seemed to touch my heart on a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, however the case may be. I was listening to a presentation of how we got our King James Bible, and it was in a negative sense, and I was watching it and listening to it, and it got me riled up, brother. I didn't like it, what he was saying, and trying to explain the fallacies of the King James Bible, and I just got... It just was confusing. It was supposed to be a scholar that was presenting it. And, you know, I'm not against scholarship, but I am against those that want to make the simple complicated. And it seemed to be what he was doing and trying to cast doubt upon the Word of God. And I just had to stop for a little bit. I turned it off and I said, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to look at the Bible. So I opened up to where I was supposed to be at anyways. I just finished 2 Corinthians. So I opened up chapter 1 and I read this portion of Scripture. It seemed like God said, here's your answer. And I want to bring this to you tonight. Chapter number 1. I want to read the first 12 verses. We're going to look at other verses in here. But I just want to get to the thought across here that Paul did. Paul says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timothy our brother unto the church of God which is at Corinth with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these next two verses are not my text tonight, but they are a blessing. If you'd read these and read them over again, it'd be a great blessing to your heart. But the Bible says in verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you think that he's trying to comfort the people there? 5 times in those 2 verses he uses that word. Verse number 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, who doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by the many on our behalf. In this last verse here, verse number 12, is what God spoke to my heart about. He says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity, in godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this opportunity. Pray that you be with us in these few moments that we have here together. Touch our hearts with your word, Lord, and I pray that you'd help me to deliver what you have given to me, Lord. And I pray, Lord, be a blessing. And Lord, though it be simple, As the verse here says, the simplicity of sincerity. Lord, may it be a blessing to the hearts and the minds of the people that are here. And Lord, may we leave here different tonight than we came in. May we leave with an excitement to serve you. And I pray that you guide and direct us in these moments that we have. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, if you go further, you can turn there if you like, but he uses this word again, this simplicity. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. And I think that after listening to some of the things that I had listened to and the discussion and trying to explain certain things, and the man was trying to explain where the King James translators got the book of Revelation, it left me scratching my head wondering what in the world he was talking about. He was talking about the King James translator had used some kind of commentary to get the last part of the book of Revelation. But I want you to know today, folks, that we have a simplicity. We don't have to worry about the complications. God has given us what we want in the simplicity. Paul says in our text here, it says the simplicity of godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. Amen. But by the grace of God. I believe God would have us to speak tonight. I believe God would have me to speak on the simplicity that is in Christ. And there are five simplicities that I will look at tonight and then we'll be done. But the first one is the simplicity of awareness. What is our life? In other words, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, in other words, Paul was saying the testimony of our conscience is what you see is what you get. Amen. He says, I am going to live my life with a conscience. I'm going to live my life in a true fashion, in a fashion where everybody can see. And I want us to know tonight that God wants us to realize who we are. We need to put aside any pretense. Paul says godly sincerity also. And sincerity, you know, means true and honest. That's what it means. All people need to drop any pretense that we are anywhere or anything but what we are tonight. And that's sinner saved by grace, if you're saved tonight. But what do or who are we? Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, hear we not all one Father? Excuse me. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 26, and I want to turn there very quickly, but Acts chapter 17 verse number 26 says this, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to do well on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, we're not saying that every person is brother or sister in Christ. He's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about the creation of man. And I want you to know tonight that God wants every person, not just Christians, wants every person to live with a conscience in their life. He wants them to live as if God were there next to them. And we know that that's not going to happen. We know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. But we are here as God's creation to live for Him, all people. And I think that's a plain, simple truth that we see in the Word of God. The simplicity of the awareness of who we are. Of what we are in this earth. There's a lot of turmoil going out, and especially in this time of political trying to become president or trying to become Congress or trying to become senators. And there's all sorts of things brought up about racism. And I want you to know, folks, we are all one race. Amen. We all came from two people that God created. We're all one race. Races come from evolutionism. and evolutionists. It's Darwin who taught that we were different forms and weren't up to the standards of other people. I want you to know tonight that we are all of one blood. And we need to be aware of the fact that God wants us to live in a simple, in a conscience-like way. The second thing I want to look at tonight is the simplicity of God's articles. In other words, His book. 66 books written by 40 different men. And wants us to know, I believe God has given us His Word. Verse 13 in our text, we didn't read it, but Paul says, "For we write." That's all I want to read. "For we write." God has given us His articles. God has given us what He wants us to have. And it's a simple matter. It's not complicated. This Bible that I hold here in my hand, I've done a study on it, looked up things, and read. I've got a book at home, the languages of the King James Bible. And also, it talks about the readability of God's Word. And it is estimated by some studies that the King James Bible is written at a 5th to 6th grade level. Amen. And it, you know, when time you get to 5th or 6th grade, and I think that's what, about age 10 or age 11, maybe with me it was a little bit older. By the time I got to 5th grade, my 2nd grade teacher loved me so much. She said, "I want you to stay another year." And so I did. And she loved me so much, she made sure I sat in the front row. And we went through the same. And Brother Matthews and Brother Braden, it was the second time through 2nd grade that I figured I wanted to be a preacher. So that's where I'm at today. But you know, the King James Bible is written on that level. It's written on the 5th to 6th grade level. Let me tell you some things about it. You know, how hard is it for someone to believe, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? That's pretty simple, I believe. That's pretty self-explanatory. What 5th grader or 6th grader could not understand such a thing? The Bible is easier, the King James Bible is easier to understand than many modern newspapers or magazines. There are less syllables, less letters in the words of the King James Bible. There are less words per sentence, smaller percentage of long words, and a greater percentage of small words than many of the modern versions of today. They say, "We're going to make a better version. We're going to make a version that's easier." But there is nothing easier, I believe, than the King James Bible. I believe God gave us the simplicity of His articles that we can look at it and we can read it. A book made up of simple words for simple understanding. There is also the simplicity of Christ's arrangement. What is that? Well, that's His plan. The Lord's plan. Verse number 12 says, "But by the grace of God." Amen? That's how we're saved. We need to understand that Paul gives us a simple arrangement of verses to receive this grace. And the very first book that is in our Bible that is written by Paul to the Romans, he gives some plain verses on how to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for more than that, died for us." That is a blessed verse. God loved us so much that even in His foreknowledge, even looking down through the ages and seeing Merle Ayers as a sinner, He said, "I'm going to die for you." That's a blessed verse. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 through 13. I want you to listen to it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'll tell you what, I love to hear those verses. I've learned those verses. I think every pastor ought to learn those verses. I think every Christian ought to learn those verses. If you've been saved for a while, you ought to at least have them written down to where you can look them up. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye should not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? You know, we get saved as becoming like little children. Little children get saved just as they are. They don't have to come up to the idea of the adults. They have to stay where they're at. They have to have a trusting, a humble spirit, and they do. Bible also says, Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. A simple arrangement to have our sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. That's what we're to do. Then there's the simplicity of Jesus Christ's answer. Look back at our text if you've turned away, but if not, it's right there in verse number 17. This was a real blessing as I read through this chapter. The simplicity of Jesus Christ's answer. He says, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purposed, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Amen, yea. You know what that means, you Ohio State fans? It means yes. All right, that's what yay means. Trying to clarify the word of God as we can. Yay, yay. Jesus is a God of yes. Amen. He is a Lord of yes. Did Jesus ever turn down anyone who sincerely asked of him? Would God reject anyone who called upon him for salvation? I don't believe he would. I tried, I thought about it. I didn't read everything, but I've read through the Bible. I don't think I've ever seen Jesus turn down anybody. I've seen Jesus talk to a rich young ruler and say, this is what you need to do, and he went away sorrowful. I saw Jesus talking to many different people. Many came to him. I never heard him say, no, you're a Gentile. No, you're a Samaritan. No, you're a poor man. No, you're too rich. But Jesus did say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. God is a God. Jesus is a savior of the word yes. Now, you may say, Brother Ayers, now I have to be careful. I keep calling myself a pastor every once in a while because I've been saying it so long, and I've thought that in the last couple times I preached, I said pastor, and then the deacons go, and I had to talk to them, had to get it straightened out. Not really, didn't have to talk to them, but I called myself that many so many years. It's the most blessed title that you can have, I think. I like being called dad. Amen. I like being called grandpa. I like being called sweetheart, husband. But I tell you what, that word pastor is a good word. And I think you ought to call your pastor pastor. Amen. I think someone said it one time. I don't know if they said it here, where they said, don't call your pastor preacher. He's more than a preacher. He is a preacher, but he's your pastor. Amen. I'll tell you what, this simplicity. So you say, why, Brother Ayers, why would you on a Wednesday night talk so much about salvation, talk about the simplicity of salvation? Well, I talk about because of the point number 5. This is my last point tonight. The simplicity of the gospel's advance. The simplicity of gospel's advance. I want to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Very familiar portion of scripture. I want you to turn there if you would. I want you to read this to me. I've been reading a book on preaching and preachers. I don't have the, by Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's a good book and I've enjoyed it, but he talked about, and he, of course, they change, the Bible sometimes, but it's a good book. I enjoyed it. But he talked about preachers and they ought to preach. They ought to have a call. But I think, there is a call. And I understand when the Bible talks about preach, sometimes it means just to witness. Just to tell. And in the book of Acts later on, it talks about, the children of Israel and those Christians that were there being spread abroad. And the Bible says, what does it say? It says they went everywhere preaching the word. And it was shared abroad. It was spread abroad. But I want you to notice here, but ye shall receive power. If you know, this is verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to jump on down there. And I want you to look at verse number 14 and 15. I want you to show you who was there. The Bible says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Verse 15 says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of the names together were about 120. 120 people. Jesus told them. Now, I'm not sure how many were here when Jesus went, but I could calculate or infer that they were there and they all came back here together. Couldn't you see that? And couldn't you see that Jesus wanted them all to spread the word, that they all needed to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? How? To be a part of the advancement of the gospel, the simplicity of the advancement. God has a plan for that also. That's you and me, those that believe. Those that trust God, how do you do it? Well, you go to your relatives. Andrew, the Bible says, found Peter, his brother. You go to your friends. Philip, the Bible says, found Nathaniel. You need to go to your co-workers. You know, some of these disciples, they were all fishermen. Now, obviously, they had fished together. They knew of it. They were co-workers. And so they were reached by one another. What do we need, folks? Well, if you'd go back, what do we need? Now, here's why I said, this is why I'm saying this tonight. This is why I'm saying it's simple, the simplicity of gospel. Any person can get saved. Any person can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Any person can give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we? Well, they're not going to get saved if they don't receive the word. Amen. They've got to hear the word of God, and we need to take it to them. So what do we need? Well, we need a concern for obedience. We need to be saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? I will do. Jesus said, go ye. Go ye into all the world. And we have to have a concern. Lord, I want to do that. I want to take the Bible. I want to take the Word of God to those around me. You have to have a concern for the lost. I want you to listen to what Paul said. His concern. In chapter number 9 of verse number 1 of Romans, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Folks, I don't know if I could say that. I don't know if I could say, God, I would go to hell to get other people saved. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I wish I could be accursed if I could just win my brethren. We ought to have some kind of burden. We ought to have some kind of burden to see folks saved. I remember when we first, we ministered in Fillmore, Utah for many years, and we would go and pass out tracts. And I remember one time, we had a young man come to church because of one of the tracts. He had gotten saved, and he came to church because of that tract. Amen? That is wonderful. Do you know one time that Jan and I went to Yuma, Arizona when she worked down there for a while, and it was a blessed time. And the first week we got there, I pulled up in a Walmart and went into the store. I came back out and on my windshield was a gospel tract. A gospel tract from Maranatha Baptist Church. That's where Pastor Max, Robinson, right? Max Robinson, who used to pastor in the area here somewhere. And I end up going to church and meeting the guy that gave out those tracts. I said, I got one of these tracts on my windshield. You know what they said? Oh, that's Larry. They knew who Larry was, and he'd been passing out tracts. You know, Larry got saved. Larry was from Detroit. Amen. And he found out I had lived in Detroit. We became homeboys. Amen. Do you remember such and such a place? Yeah, I remember that. And that was a blessing. But I went out calling with Larry one time. Went out door knocking, and those folks would come to the door, and he would present that word. He'd grab their attention and tell them how to get saved in 5 minutes. Larry was a black man, African American, however you want to say. But I don't know if they listened to him because of his race. I don't know, or I know I said we're all one race, but he had the black skin. And I don't know if they listened to him because of that or just because of his concern. You know, Larry had gotten saved. Did I say that earlier? He got saved by reading a tract. So he had always wanted to pass out tracts. I tell you what, listen folks, let me tell you. And I said all that to say this. We need to share the Word of God. We need to tell others about Jesus Christ. We need to let them know. Well, what do you need? Well, you need to look back in my third point, the simplicity Christ arrangement, those verses, you ought to have those written down somewhere. And most of you know that's the Romans Road, right? Now you might have other verses that you can use, but you need to have those things written down. I'll tell you what, you ought to have a Bible, preferably a little New Testament. You don't have to. You can take a regular-sized Bible. Folks, we need to spread the Word of God. We need to have that little Bible where we can tell other people. We need to have them memorized. We need to look and have that Romans 3 and verse number 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. And open up the Bible and show it to them. Say, here's one. Right, Brother Matthews? That's what we learned. That's what we learned, Brother Braden. That's what they taught us. And it's a good thing. But all Christians ought to share the Word of God. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Have a concern for Him. We ought to have a good King James Bible. A good little New Testament. Or a regular Bible. It doesn't have to be small. You ought to have a pocket full of tracts. Just so happen to have some here. You ought to have a pocket full of tracts. Have these nice ones. Amen. The only door. If you pester Brother Braden, he'll get you some of these. I think there's some out there. Go out there and check this. These are about our church. Then take these more expensive ones. These 17 and 20 cents a piece. Brother Braden was after the kids saying, now don't take these tracts. These are good tracts to give out. Give them to somebody. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to tell people. And you know what? If you give somebody a tract, they might not ever open that tract. You know what you ought to do? Say, let me give you a gospel tract. And let me tell you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You could say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get some kind of, you know what the Bible says about itself? Hey, it says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It says it's quick and it's powerful. You give that tract to somebody and say, would you read this? They might not ever open that, but you know what? If you could put a verse in their heart, they might remember that. I know a man that got saved because of UPS. I don't know if I told that here. I tell the stories over and over again. It's just a matter. But I know a man that got saved because the UPS truck driver left a package. When he left, he said, Jesus loves you. And he walked off. And it got that man thinking about Jesus. Got him to thinking about how he loved him. And he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because someone said, Jesus loves you. Do you have a burden? Do you want to do what God says? Do you have a burden for people? Another thing you ought to have, breath mints. You don't want to offend people. Amen? You want to put that, pop that mint before you go up to the door? I don't want to scare people off, you know. I drink a lot of coffee, so I know that I have coffee breath. And I says, would you like to be saved? Breathe in their face. Amen. You don't want to offend people. Get those breath mints, pop them in there. I tell you what, folks, it is a simple matter. It's simple to lead someone to God, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a simple plan. He has a simple presentation that you can give. This is the simplicity that is in Christ tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's have a word of prayer tonight. Thank you for your time.